In response to the Christmas message, let us sing from Psalter number 243, the stanzas 1 and 5. 243, 1 and 5. Congregation of the Lord Jesus, no one, I trust, will have any problem taking a sentimental journey into a traditional Christmas. A blanket of snow, sleigh bells in the distance, the voice of young children singing Silent Night at your neighbor's door, and you sitting around the fireplace with your loved ones, sharing gifts and sharing one another's company. Wonderful. A truly traditional Christmas. But now behind and beyond such a traditional Christmas, dear people, is what I would want to call an original Christmas. A Christmas that lacked many, if not all, of those comforts and those beauties that I've just described for you. In our thoughts, you and I must journey back in time to this original Christmas so that our sentimental journey may remain firmly rooted in Holy Scripture. Let us therefore consider the original Christmas came, in the first place, by a difficult way. In the second place, at a poor place, and in the third place, for a saving work. And that's how we will look at this message, or listen to this message. The original Christmas came by a difficult way, at a poor place, for a saving work. Now, congregation, we have heard a well-known Christmas passage again from Luke chapter 2. And we know this passage so well, don't we? Many of the boys and girls, no doubt, will be able to recite it off by heart. But you know, we might know this Christmas passage so well that we often do not stop to think of the words and of the things that lie behind the very words that we know so well and what those words imply. Because you see, there are some difficulties behind the scene and behind these words that you and I will have to look at this hour. And so let's read the words of our text, Luke chapter 2, the verses 3 through 5. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Now, dear people, behind those familiar words are hidden some difficulties which were experienced by an impoverished young couple, which we now know as Joseph and Mary. And these difficulties made Christmas far from comfortable for them. It made their Christmas anything but what we would associate with a traditional Christmas. How so? Well, let's listen. Joseph and Mary, you see, were forced to take up a difficult journey. And it is described for us in verse 4. Joseph and Mary were actually compelled by the authorities to go on a 90-mile trek, most likely on foot, from the village of Nazareth, located in the northern part of the land known as Galilee, down to the southern part of the land, to the hill country of Judea, to the town of Bethlehem. Well, what were the difficulties, you ask? Well, you see, as I said already, it was forced traveling for them, for one thing. They had no choice in the matter. Joseph and Mary had to leave Nazareth. And they had to go to Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus, that powerful military dictator of the Roman Empire, having most of the world under his control at that time, had issued actually a decree that each person in his empire should be registered for taxation. And in order that this would be well supervised and well controlled, each person had to be or had to return to their family birthplace, where the family once had its roots and its plots of land and its original registration. Each adult person, and this included the women folk even from 12 years and older, had to register their name, therefore, in the hometown city hall, so that everyone could be taxed at a certain time. You see, and this lies behind it, one of the schemes of the Roman Empire was that whenever it conquered a nation, the conquered people could do one of two things. One, all the men folk could join the Roman armies and fight along with the Roman soldiers and conquer more and more of the world. Or, two, you could stay at home and pay a levy of taxes to keep the army going and to keep the soldiers paid. Two choices. Well, then it is also the case that the Roman soldiers did not want the Jewish men to be part of their military ranks because the Roman soldiers considered the Jewish men to be very unreliable and to be very untrustworthy, especially in military service. Jewish men, you see, were just too devoted to their own nation and they would never fight for any other nation other than the Jewish nation. And so it was decided by the Roman rulers not to accept Jewish men into their military ranks. Well, what to do with them then? There you have it. Tax them. Tax them. They don't want to fight. And then let them pay for the upkeep of the armies. And so, Joseph and Mary were also enlisted by the Roman rulers not to fight, but to pay taxes. And therefore they had to go to Bethlehem and have the city officials register their names on the nation's tax roll. No registration by mail at that time. It had to be in person. And this was called then the first census. You can read of that in verse 2. That is the first registration. The second census, the second registration would come a few years later, and you can actually read of that in Acts chapter 5 and verse 37, where the money would then also at the same time be demanded of the people. Now you and I, we complain about our taxes. But imagine what it must have been for the people of Israel at that time. Paying taxes to keep the war effort going of the enemy. Paying taxes to keep any enemy soldiers happy. And for poor folk like Joseph and Mary, there were no exceptions. The Romans insisted. And so the journey to hometown birthplace was a forced journey, as I indicated already. And the Romans showed no mercy. No exceptions were made for sick people, or for elderly and the feeble ones, or for that matter, for pregnant women. They all had to do their share of army duty. They all had to pay their taxes. And therefore, they all had to go. Can you imagine, dear people, what sort of miseries, what sort of difficulties these people encountered because of this one decree of Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed? The trips that those Israelites had to make were not exactly vacation trips at all. I can imagine, and perhaps you can too, I can imagine the scenes on the road in those days. Elderly and feeble people leaning and clinging to each other as they inch their way along the roads, the rough roads in Israel. There's a young man perhaps carrying his sick mother on his back. And there's another one who's being carried by a homemade stretcher. And along the side of the road are the pathetic cases of those who collapsed. The heat and the journey has been just too much for them. And congregation, although this is not said in our Christmas passage of Luke chapter 2, nevertheless, this is what hides behind those particular words. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. It was misery, it was distress, it was poverty, you see. And not in the least, it was a great humiliation for the people of Israel. No, there were no sign of any sort of comfort there at all during that original Christmas season. Then we read that during this time, Joseph also went up from Galilee and he went to Judea to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And this was, as you will understand, an added difficulty for them. Mary, you see, was getting close to her due date. She would soon give birth. Under normal circumstances, you would not consider any kind of journey of that kind at all. Mary needed rest. Not a grueling trek of some 90 miles on foot through rugged hilly terrain. But the Roman decree, you see, also forced her to go. And therefore, the trip for Mary was far from comfortable. Her Christmas would come by a difficult way. And I thought about this congregation as I was working on this sermon. Was this perhaps not also a ploy of the devil to try to bring Jesus to an untimely birth or perhaps even a disastrous death or a disastrous birth and death? No doubt Satan must have been hoping that Mary would collapse on the edge of a hot and dusty road somewhere in the hills and there give birth and death to herself and her child. And I believe this journey was already a scheme of Satan, you see, to destroy Jesus, the Son of God, who was to be a gift to the world. Satan wanted to take away this particular gift of God. You see, this was also part of the original Christmas. It came by a difficult way. However, Mary made it. Mary made it. Joseph and Mary, after a wearisome journey, finally arrived in Bethlehem of Judea. But again, their original Christmas would have nothing of that friendly hospitality that we may now traditionally enjoy as we visit one another. Nothing of the sort for Joseph and Mary. For them, their Christmas would be at a poor place, as we must consider in the second place. Now, Bethlehem was not such a poor place, was it? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Bethlehem, you see, was the ancient city of David. It was the birthplace of the greatest and the most loved and the most God-fearing king of Israel, that is, King David, as the boys and girls will know. Bethlehem, the city of David. Bethlehem, just a little bit south of the city of Jerusalem, was a rather sleepy town. A town with character, a town with history. Sheltered behind the mountains that surrounded Jerusalem, Bethlehem, you see, had this natural beauty of fresh, grazing mountain slopes all around it. And these mountain slopes were usually white dotted with sheep, which were designated to be sacrificed one day in the temple at Jerusalem. And on these slope hills, known as the fields of Ephrata, the best and the prized flocks grazed under the watchful eyes of some devoted shepherds. But for all that, for Joseph and Mary, Bethlehem was still a poor place. A poor place. When these two weary travelers arrived, there was no one to greet them. There was no one to bid them welcome. No one had made any sort of preparations for them, you see. Although Bethlehem was the city of David, where the family had its ancient roots, yet when this young couple from the house and lineage of David arrived, no one knew them and no one offered them any sort of hospitality. Not even the inn, the local inn, the local comfort place for travelers had any room for them. So you see, Joseph was forced to find a place for them to rest and sort of live during their stay in Bethlehem. And he found a place that was not really designed for any human beings, but it was a place for animals, namely the stable. Stable. A place where animals were born, and where animals were kept, and where animals were fed. Certainly not a place of comfort, certainly not a place of hospitality, and most certainly not a place for a woman who was about to give birth to a child. There was no privacy there, it was dirty, it was filthy, it was only fit for animals, but it was not fit for people like Joseph and Mary and the baby that would soon be born. And yet it was in this place particularly, where Jesus was to be born. So we read, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. The original Christmas, you see, came by a poor place, or came at a poor place. Mary gave birth to baby Jesus in a place of poverty, in a place that was only suitable for animals, and nothing more than that. And then we read this too yet, that she laid her infant son Jesus asleep in a manger, or rather in a feeding trough for animals. Well, as you will understand, the devil failed to bring Jesus to an untimely birth or to an early death. He failed in that. Mary made it. But look at the place he left to Jesus. A place suited only for animals. As if to say, and we can as it were hear Satan whisper this into this world, this is what I think of Jesus, the Son of God. Oh dear people, it sounds so cute, doesn't it? And it sounds so warm, and it sounds so traditional when children sing of Jesus sleeping in the hay. It makes Christmas so Christmassy, so to speak, to speak of a stable and to speak of a manger. But behind all of that is the mockery of the devil, of Satan himself. This is what I think of your Jesus. He's not to be considered to be a human, but an animal. Jesus, born in a stable, laid in a manger, was already a foreshadowing of his own prophecy. I'm a beast. I'm a worm. And no man. I'm a reproach of man. Despised by the people. And dear people, there's something very sad about this, because this is not only the devil's doing, but it's mankind going along with it. When our Christmas passage says that there was no room for them in the inn, it is also actually God's accusing finger to the human race. Because by nature, you and I have collaborated with the devil. Because by nature we have closed our doors to Jesus, so that the only thing left for Him was to be with the animals and with the beasts of the field. This is what the devil and this is what our sinful heart have led to. And we need to understand this. You see, it is said in the Bible that our sins have nailed Jesus to the cross of shame. But it may also be said that our sins have laid Him already during that original Christmas in nothing more than an animal stable and housed Him or laid Him in a manger. It was our sins, you see. Our sins who have brought Jesus to that sort of level, no higher than an animal. Now we may enjoy warmth and our comforts, we may enjoy hospitality at our Christmas, but it was so much different at that original Christmas. There was none of it for Jesus. There was none of it for His parents. No room in the inn, no warmth, no comfort, no hospitality, and because of it He was relegated to a place of animals. And there are people, again, this is what is hidden behind the verses of this well-known Christmas passage. You and I, we may tend to forget this so easily, but let us look behind those scenes for a few minutes and see what sin has done. And let's look in our own hearts as well then what our sin has done to Him. Our heart too by nature has said no to Jesus, no room. And you see, the sad thing about it is that it may still be possible that we say that sort of thing today yet. That is saying no to Jesus by giving Him no room, by showing Him no hospitality. Now we know, of course, that the world does this with its fake and with its commercial Christmasing. We know that. And we look upon it and say, what a sad thing it is. But could at the same time church people not do something similar as well? That is, giving no room to Jesus. Well, this certainly can be true. Especially when church people are still very full of themselves. If they are still full of their own works. If they are still full of their own way of religion. Even if they are still full of their own kind of Christmas religion. Even church people, you see, can appear to have no room for Jesus and appear to have no hospitality towards Him. How so, you might ask? How so? Well, it is when church people fail to understand the difficulties and the poverty that Jesus endured was because of their sin. Their sin. You see, Jesus was not born in a stable and laid in a manger just so that we could have some heartwarming stories to tell and sing some beautiful songs that our children will enjoy singing. Jesus was not put up in an animal shelter just so that we could reenact the event and say, how sweet, how real, how Christmassy. No, Jesus ended up in such a poor place because sin-loving men and women, boys and girls, needed to know a sinner-loving Savior willing to identify with them and wanting to save them from their sin. And there is where it's at, dear people. Even on this Christmas day, this has to be declared. Dear people, Jesus ended up in such a dismal place so that He could lift you and me from our dismal condition and offer you freely the forgiveness of sin. And this too is part of the original Christmas message. And it's part of the original Christmas. The Bible says so to us, doesn't it? Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. You must know, therefore, and you should know, that it was for your and my sin that brought him to that poverty level, even the level of having to be born in an animal shelter. And then to go one step further yet, you and I, we must also know that it is your and my sin that took Jesus from that dismal poverty of the manger to the destitute poverty of the cross. Jesus became poor so that poor, sin-struck people like you and I might be rich. And therefore, the original Christmas came for a saving work, as we must see this in the third place. Now we must never forget, we must never ignore this in respect to the original Christmas story, dear people. It is hard to imagine this perhaps at this particular stage, that what happened by such a difficult way and what happened at such a poor place was the beginning of a mighty saving work. It was a work that would rescue and save sinners from the clutches of the devil, of the one who wanted to destroy Jesus. And it was a mighty saving work from the snares of sin and death. And boys and girls, it may be hard to imagine that in the birth of a little baby, for whom a decent place could not even be found in Israel, and who therefore had to be laid to sleep in a manger. It's hard to imagine, but think of it. A mighty work of salvation would begin. It is hard to imagine that in this person, in the person of such a poor, weak, tender infant child, God has come down to be with us on earth in order to be your Savior. Well, of course, we know that the devil knew this, and this is why he tried to give Jesus an untimely birth and also an early death. The devil tried to stop it in every way, shape, and form. The devil knew it. This is why there was no room in the inn, you see. Because he does not want to have people give room to Jesus or show any sort of hospitality to him even today yet. This is how it was then. This is how it is today. Perhaps even more so today. And universally so. Because you see, the devil does not want people to give any room, any space, any time, any thought to Jesus, also at this Christmas occasion. And this is why those Christmases today are so cranked up into commercialism and snowfest and drinking parties, just to make people forget. That is really what it's all about. Forget that Jesus was born Savior of sinners. The devil prefers that all our Christmas time would be spent on Christmas gifts, on Christmas get-togethers, on Christmas meals, and what your turkey would be like. But don't think too much, or don't think at all about Jesus the Savior. Yet, this is what the original Christmas is all about. Jesus coming into this world by a difficult way, at a poor place, for a saving work. And this is the first thing also that the shepherds got to hear about him, as we are then told also by the angel. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. Who is Christ the Lord. Verse 11. And dear people, this is what must be central to our Christmas. When you and I are also able to say it and confess it, to me is born on that original Christmas day a Savior who is Christ, my Lord. Then there will be room for Jesus. And there will be space and there will be time. And there will be thought and there will be hospitality for Him. Then I would say you will even want to take that difficult journey. Whatever difficult journey it might be. And you will cross any hill of obstacle that may arise. You will want to travel through the heat of mockery. You will even endure the weariness of the flesh. But you will want to find your way to Jesus to worship Him. Then you will go to that place that testifies of the poverty. Then you will find yourself on bended knees beside the shepherds at the manger. Then you will worship Him, you will adore Him, who is Jesus the Savior of sinners, even such as one as you and me. It was for saving work that Jesus came by a difficult way to a poor place. But this was only the beginning for Him yet. The difficulties would mount as time would go on. The poverty would increase for Him until He would have to say He has no place to lay His head even. But He would complete what He had come to do. And now I ask you, has this become like the original Christmas for you already? Have you learned by word and by spirit that the difficulties and the poverty were endured for you and for me? That is, for the salvation of your sin and your sinnerhood. Oh, may it be so, even today. And therefore, let us not be satisfied with the Christmas of tradition. But let us reach back to that original Christmas that we've heard about this morning. This is why God came to us, to be Emmanuel, to be Jesus the Savior, to be amongst us. And therefore also my wish and prayer of Christmas for all of you, that is young and old, boys and girls, young people, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, would have full entrance to your heart and to your life. That you would be able to sing, Lord Jesus, come. Welcome. In my heart, in my life, come. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen.